Well, have you ever had someone say to you, "You look tired"? And I think they usually mean it kindly, but it stings a little bit, doesn't it? Honestly, I think I've actually had a few of you have said that to me on occasion. And I'll assume it's because you really care and not because it's a not so subtle way of saying, "I don't look very good today." But the reason that this phrase stings is because for many of us, it's true. We are tired. How many of you would be willing to raise your hand and just say, "You feel a little worn out"? Yeah, a lot of us, especially at this time of year. There was an article a few years back called "Why We're So Exhausted by the Time It's Christmas." And it was written by a mother, and she wrote this long, short story. And I want to read to you just some of it and see if any of this resonates with you. She says, at some point around December 20th, we would give anything, absolutely anything, to go to bed and forget the whole thing. But now is the time to dredge up more energy, a huge power surge, because Christmas proper has begun. At work, there's a ridiculous push to cram 2 weeks' worth of my job into 3 days. Back at home, you decorate the tree, you wrap presents, leave another frantic message for the plumber because my plumbing stopped working, hang up the cards, and look, oh no, the spare room has a year's worth of accumulating rubbish, and Mom is here in 3 days. Then there's the shopping at the grocery store. Cars are queued around the block, wearily pushing your cart, and then the awful truth dawns on me. We forgot to order the turkey. The supermarket shelves are now bare. Time is running out. I still need cranberry sauce, new Christmas lights because they blew out last year, and something, anything for my mother. I catch sight of a magazine cover saying, 50 things to remember this Christmas. And I think, 50? Only 50? By now, I've given up making lists because I know with a sinking heart that it can't all be done, that Christmas will soon be upon me before I'm ready. Did I buy enough food? Does everyone like chestnut pudding? I don't even know what that is. At the traffic lights, the car breaks down, and the frozen turkey that I was able to find starts defrosting in the back seat. And then I remember my sister-in-law, who's coming, is a vegetarian. Back home, everyone is shivering because the boiler has gone out, and I can't get a repairman out this late on Christmas. My teenager is moaning about all the relatives coming tomorrow because he'd rather spend the day with his girlfriend. And my six-year-old is crying because someone at school said they were naughty and weren't getting any presents this year. My mom says she really doesn't mind sharing the spare room with the exercise bike, the old computer, some boxes in the corner, and my son's mildewy football gear. And the cat, who has found the cranberry sauce, is quietly sick on the carpet. And I stand there thinking, it's happened again. Tomorrow is Christmas Day, and I'm so exhausted. All I want to do is spend the day under the covers. Every year, I kick off the festive period with boundless energy and enthusiasm, and every year, I end up weeping with exhaustion on Christmas Eve. Now, that's a little extreme, but I think some of us can relate to feeling like that. Well, over the past couple weeks, we've been in a series called A Weary World Rejoices, and we spent time looking at the weight that so many of us carry, especially during this season. In week one, we talked about our busyness, how easy it is to get ready preparing for Christmas, but forget to prepare for Christ. And last week, if you're with us, we talked about anxiety, how worry often comes from trying to stay in control instead of trusting God. If you're with us, you remember that Angie shared some helpful insight into that. If you missed it, I encourage you, go on our website and check it out online, how we can deal with the anxious thoughts that we have, how we can turn them over to Christ, release control. And today, as we near the home stretch to Christmas, we're going to talk about something that we all need: rest. Just say the word together: rest. There's a brief moment we find in Mark chapter 6 where Jesus has just sent his disciples out to do ministry alone, and they return. And we read these words from Mark chapter 6. Verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. And he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And get some rest. Jesus notices that when the disciples were tired, they needed to get away from all the noise and get some rest. Because the world is often full of noise, not just in this season. But think about the world that we live in today, the noise that's constantly bombarding us every day. I think one of the biggest sources of noise is our phones. And not just the sounds they make, but the endless scrolling, the noise, the, I'm going to call it pollution that comes through there. We call it often news, right? Just this constant noise of things, not only just grabbing at our attention, but wearing us down, making us weary. I grew up in the 80s. And I was a guitar player. I still play guitar a little bit. And back when I first started playing guitar, there was a guy, you can see him on the screen, his name was Michelangelo. Look at that guy. He is so awesome. I wanted hair like that. And of course, everyone that plays guitar needs a guitar with four necks, right? Just because. This was what was called the shred era, if you are familiar with that. And my goal as a young fifth grader learning to play guitar was that I could be a shredder like Michelangelo. And so much to my mother's dismay, what that meant was I would play very loud and as fast as I possibly could. Right? That's what it was all about, was playing fast. And after a while, I figured I was never really, really good, and I could certainly never play like Michelangelo. But I would sit in my bedroom with my amplifier cranked as loud as I could possibly take it and play something that maybe sounded like this. You love it, don't you? Just play that for hours and hours. Yeah, that's right, yeah. But here's what my mother would say. What's with all that noise? Because when you played as fast as you possibly could, just the same notes over and over again, it just begins to sound like noise. There was no, as we say musically, no rests, no pauses. It was amazing because you could take the same notes and just play them with pauses, and all of a sudden, it's not quite just noise anymore. I played all the same notes. Yeah. But it's a little more musical. You could probably maybe stand to listen to that for a while. The other, no. 10 seconds, you guys were already done. Stop, Stephen. And that's a great illustration of how many of us live our lives. There's no rests. There's no pauses. It's just an endless stream of noise. And music without rest doesn't become better music just because it's faster. It becomes noise. Claude Debussy, a great composer, said these words, music is the silence between the notes. An endless barrage of notes does not make music, but music is the silence between the notes. And if this is true for music, then it's also got to be true for our souls. Now, we're going to look at a passage of scripture this morning that might not be your traditional Christmas passage, but I think it has a great message for us from Jesus himself about how we can not only get through this Christmas season, but live our lives with pauses, with the rests, the right kind of rests. I want to say there is a time when we just need to stop, when we just need to pause. We see this actually from the beginning of Scripture, all the way back in Genesis 2. God made the world and then he rested, not because he needed to. He wasn't exhausted from all his work. He was setting an example for us. And so there are times when many of us just need to stop. We just need to pause. God has built this rhythm into our lives through what's called the Sabbath. And we're not going to spend time talking about Sabbath rest this morning, although I hope to someday soon in the future. but for us to talk about a different kind of rest. A rest that isn't just about stopping. It's about doing something different. Jesus, when he talks about rest in the passage we're going to read, he's not saying do nothing, although there is a time when you just need to do nothing. He's not calling us to just abandon our responsibilities. He wants to teach us how to play a different song, to play maybe the song differently. Because biblical rest is not just the absence of effort, it's the presence of Jesus in the effort. So if you've got your Bibles, look to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, a passage you've probably heard many, many times before, maybe not at Christmas time, but Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. He says, "Come to me," this is Jesus speaking, "all you who are weary and burdened. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." The word "all" here matters. Jesus doesn't say, "Come to me, those of you who have it figured out," or "those of you who've slowed down your life." He doesn't say, "Come to me after you've made room, made space for me." He says, "Come to me, all who are weary." This is where the Christmas story helps us to understand a little bit here. When Jesus came into the world, Emmanuel, we call him, God with us. Luke tells us in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, these words, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son," he's talking about Mary, "and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger." Why was he in a manger? Because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no space. The world wasn't ready for Jesus. They hadn't prepared the space for him. There actually wasn't room. And yet Jesus came anyway. He didn't wait for the world to get organized. He didn't wait for things to slow down. He didn't wait for a room to open up. He entered into a crowded, chaotic, noisy world, which tells us something incredibly important about what Jesus says here in Matthew 11, 28. Jesus doesn't wait for us to get it all together, to be ready before he comes to you. He comes to the weary, he says, all who are weary. He comes to those whose lives are crowded, are filled with noise. He comes to people whose lives are already full. He doesn't wait for there to be room. He doesn't wait for the world to slow down. He doesn't wait for us to get rested and then say, "Okay, now I'll show up. Now you can come to me." He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary, in the state that you're currently in." So the question this Christmas isn't, how do I do less? That's a different kind of rest, which is important, and we need to sometimes just stop. But the question we want to look at today is, how can I let Jesus bring rest into my life? What does the rest of Christ look like? See, in context here, Jesus is speaking to people who were not just physically tired, but they were spiritually exhausted. They had felt this pressure of the law, of keeping the right commandments, of constantly trying to be good enough, to do enough. They were crushed under those layers of expectations in the constant sense that no matter what they would do, they were never good enough for God. Now, we won't often verbalize it this way, but that's why so many of us have been busy and full of anxiety and feel exhausted, is because we don't feel like we're good enough. We don't feel like we're worthy enough. And Jesus doesn't say, "Try harder." He says, "Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." And what does he say? "And I will give you rest." I will give you rest. See, rest isn't something that we earn. It's something that he gives. Rest isn't something that we can achieve by calendaring our life a certain way, or even the decisions that we would make a certain way, or the circumstances that happen to us. Rest isn't something we achieve. It's something we receive. It's given to us as a gift. It's what the grace of Jesus is all about. It's the good news of Christ. And then Jesus says something that almost seems contradictory. He's saying, come to me, you are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. And then he says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. A yoke, you see a picture up here on the screen, is an instrument of work. It's a contraption that was put on animals to help guide them and to help carry the load. And it almost seems contradictory that Jesus just said, come to me who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We think, oh, okay, good. I'll put my shoes up, you know, kick my feet up, just rest. And he says, take my yoke. Wait, why would I want to take the yoke? I don't want to do work. I want rest. And Jesus is trying to tell us, sometimes the yoke that we put on ourselves is the wrong yoke, but the yoke that Jesus gives us, that's available to all of us, is easy. It's rest. See, rest in this context isn't the absence of doing something. That's what I often think of with rest, right? I'm just tired. I just want to go and do nothing. And there's a place for that. There is. What Jesus is talking about here when he says rest isn't the absence of work. Rest is letting Jesus carry the load you were never meant to carry on your own. Rest is letting Jesus carry the load that you were never meant to carry, the right load, because there is going to be a load. Life doesn't just stop. Some of us are exhausted, not because we're doing too much, but because we're carrying expectations, carrying a yoke that we were never meant to carry. The pressure to prove ourselves, to look good to others, to do enough to please them, or maybe to do enough to please God. And Jesus' rest here isn't about doing nothing. It's about inviting us into a relationship where we take his yoke and walk with him. Jesus is saying, you're still going to walk, you're still going to live, you're still going to carry responsibilities, but you don't have to carry it alone. And make sure you're carrying the right ones. And this is why so many of us get tired. Not because we're doing too much, but because we're under the wrong yoke. We're filling our lives with that noise. Now the word easy, it says my yoke is easy here, it doesn't mean effortless. It actually means well-fitting, properly designed. There's an old tradition that's been passed down by the early church fathers that maybe Jesus was known for making the best yokes in all of Galilee. He was a carpenter. These were made out of wood. And we can maybe guess that Jesus, as a carpenter, was probably a really good one, right? And what if this tradition is true? That everyone knew when Jesus was using this illustration, this guy knows all about making well-fitted yokes. People came from all over the world or all over the area there because his yokes fit so well. Matthew 11, 29, he says, and 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, it's been suggested, again, we don't know, this is just a tradition. You know, but most shops, you can just imagine Jesus' shop, his carpentry shop with his earthly father, Joseph, that over the door said, my yokes fit well. See, Jesus isn't offering us something more to carry, more weight. He's offering us a yoke that fits us well. Because he doesn't want us to carry the things that we were never meant to carry. Rest isn't the absence of effort. Rest is letting Jesus carry the load that you were never meant to carry, putting the right yoke on you. Jesus goes on to say, and learn from me, and you will find rests for your souls. Learn from me, he says. You'll find rest for your souls. That rest, that's the peace of God. The peace that we talk about, especially in this Christmas season, is not the absence of responsibility or even the absence of conflict. Peace is the presence that we have when we're walking yoked next to Jesus, when he is helping carry the right weight. learn from me. It says you need to find the right rhythm. You're not going to know it on your own. Most of us, if we're left to ourselves, we're going to just fill our lives with noise, carrying a yoke that we were never meant to carry. Jesus says, learn my rhythm. He teaches us where the rests belong. He says, I will give you rest. In John 10:10, Jesus said these words. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and they may have it to the full. I love the way the New Living Translation says this. He says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. See, this word full, it doesn't mean busy. It doesn't mean packed. It actually means whole. It's the Greek word parousos, and it means above and beyond, everything, right? Complete wholeness. And I think one of the reasons that so many of us feel so weary, especially at Christmas, is because our lives, they're not full of the right thing. And many of us, we're running on empty. When I was younger, I used to run out of gas all the time. I mean, physically. Like, I drove this little, it was a 79 Pontiac Starfire. Does anybody remember those things? I think it was $500 was what we paid for it. And it was not great on gas, and I had very little money. And so I would fill up my tank, and I'd drive around, and I was going to different places, and I would just try to push it as far as I could. Right, and this was before we had the readings that would say, like, you have 10 miles left to empty. Like, it just kind of went that way. And I was like, well, I mean, it's an approximation, right, of where the E is. And more times than I want to admit, I was stuck on the side of the road, usually the highway. And I would have to walk to a gas station. And I would buy a bottle of Snapple. I would drink it. And I would fill the Snapple container with gas and then walk back because the Snapple container fit exactly in my gas tank spot. But I was running out of gas. And it wasn't because I didn't know where I was going or so I was wandering around aimlessly. It was because I was trying to go too far without the rest, without refilling my tanks. And spiritually, that's what a lot of us are doing. Jesus says, I offer you life to the full, overflowing, abundantly. But we try to live our lives running on empty. We keep going with this heavy yoke on us. We keep maybe serving or giving to our families or showing up at work. And all those are great things, but we're doing it on fumes. And eventually we will run out of gas. Not because we're going the wrong way, but because the source wasn't being replenished. Some of us are tired physically. Our bodies are worn down, not just with age, but with the yoke. We've carried a weight that we were never meant to carry alone. Some of us are tired emotionally. We're tired of carrying things that we should just release to God, things that we're trying to hold on to. Some of us are tired mentally. Our brains never shut off. Even when we try to rest, it doesn't stop. And then some of us were tired spiritually. Maybe we're feeling empty. Not because we're bad people. It's because we're carrying a yoke that we were never meant to carry on our own. And Jesus' invitation isn't, okay, once you guys figure that all out, then come to me. He says, come to me all who are weary, burdened, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He doesn't say, fix yourself first and then come. He simply says, come to me. Because rest isn't something we achieve, it's something we receive. If we want our lives to be more than just noise, if we really want it to mean something, if we really want to sing songs like we sing even this morning, joy to the world, the Lord has come. We have to be carrying the yoke that Jesus wants us to carry. We have to take off the things that are weighing us down and give them to him because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. A few years ago, there was a video that went around. You might have seen it before, might have even shown it here at this church. And it was a reminder that oftentimes, especially in this season, we forget to put in the pauses. Let's watch this together.
My mama told me something when I was growing up that has forever changed my life. She played the piano at our little church at 3rd and Pine Street for 37 years. She tried to teach me to play the piano, but I wasn't very good. She would teach me the names of the notes, what a major key is, what a minor key is. She tried to teach me musical theory, but I was just bored. Then, one day, she told me that the best news in the world is found by playing a simple scale on the piano. I had no idea what she meant, so she told me to play an 8-note scale. So I did. I said, "How is that good news?" And she said I played it incorrectly and that I needed to play it the other way. So I did. Again, I said, "How is that good news?" And she said, "I played it the right way, but I needed to add the pauses." "The pauses?" She said, "The pauses. Add them on the first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note." Now, I was frustrated and said, "How can 8 notes with random pauses be the best news in the world?" Then I got up, walked away, and went outside. Frankly, I didn't care what she was talking about. I didn't like playing the piano anyway. Well, years later, my mama got sick and passed away. As I was thinking about her, I remembered what she told me about the piano. Not only that, I still remember the notes she told me to pause. The first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note. So I sat down at her piano and played the scale with the pauses. And that's when I realized the good news she was talking about.
St. Augustine shared some words that you probably have heard before. He said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And rest isn't doing nothing. It's having his yoke, having him walk alongside us with the yoke that he has designed just for you. His yoke fits you well. And all of us, we have different yokes that we're carrying, different things that God has placed upon us. For some, maybe you feel like that woman that wrote that story at the beginning of the message, just feeling exhausted. Maybe for some of us, it's another yoke. But all of us have been called by God to carry his yoke that gives us rest. Life is often full, but are we carrying the right yoke? The yoke of his good news. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Because no activity, no amount of activity, no amount of celebration, no success, no gifts around the tree, or no distractions can give our souls what only God can give. And we can rejoice this Christmas because Jesus gives us his rest. We can find real rest, real lasting peace this Christmas when we have been yoked with Christ. So I want to ask you, as we head into the home stretch to Christmas, how heavy is the load that you're carrying? What are you carrying that God never intended for you to carry? Has any of that really brought you rest. And Jesus' offer still stands, just like it did for the people that heard it in Matthew. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You can have rest. Not no activity, but rest. Because your heart will be restless until you rest in him. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you came into the world, Emmanuel, God with us, and that you brought rest into the noise that was existing in the world and the noise that exists in our own hearts and our own souls. God, many of us feel weary. And Jesus, we bring you our weariness, our striving, our restlessness. God, we thank you for the yoke that you have designed just for us. That doesn't mean that it's not going to require some effort and that there won't be times in our lives when we do feel weary, but you say, take my yoke, learn my ways, and you will find rest for your souls. And we thank you for that, Jesus. Teach us your pace, your rhythm. Help us to clear our lives of the noise that we create, that we allow into our lives. Help us to carry the right weight. And give us, Lord, rest for our souls. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church together said, amen.